Middle East on the brink. North Korea on the brink. Iran increasing its aggression. Elections in Taiwan. Look, there's a lot of global instability as we ourselves plunge into primary season. How have you sheltered your savings and investments from potential major setbacks to the economy? You think it can't happen here? It can happen here, but it's not too late to diversify an old IRA or 401k into gold. And Birch Gold Group can help you with that. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. As opposed to many other investments, gold thrives in times of uncertainty. It is an important part of diversifying your savings. Now listen, here's how Birch Gold can help make it a part of yours. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. And it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. You want to learn more? Just text SAVAGE to 989898 for a free info kit. S-A-V-A-G-E, text it to 989898 and you get a free info kit. It costs you nothing. Just text SAVAGE to 989898. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers, I encourage you to arm yourself with the knowledge of diversification through precious metals. Protect yourself. Text SAVAGE to 989898 and claim your free info kit. Protect your savings with gold. Do it now. Text SAVAGE to 989898. Thank you very much. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. Text SAVAGE to 989898.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. The Westwood One Podcast Network presents The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw. Home of borders, language, culture, and here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Men and women of the United States, this is a momentous hour in world history. This is the invasion of Hitler's Europe, the zero hour of the Second Front. The men of General Dwight Eisenhower are leaving their landing barges. Fighting their way up the beaches into the fortress of Nazi Europe. They are moving in from the sea to attack the enemy under a mammoth cloud of fighter planes, under a ceiling of screaming shells from Allied warships. This is the European front in the fight against Axis aggression, once again being established in fire and blood.
It's a momentous day for those of us who know history, and I will tell you right now, at the same time that we are watching the heroes who are still living, I watched it on C-SPAN all morning. Frankly, I was choked up. Here are guys 100 years old. They lived through that. They lived through Normandy, and they're 100 years old. They're being just lauded, as they should be, by the world to see. And yet here in America, we have a stronger communist movement than ever before. I received in my email something from a group called Liberty Tree, Foundation for the Democratic Revolution. They are a seditious organization. We know what the Liberty Tree means. It means blood. And I want you to listen to what came into my email. It says, mark June 15th in your calendar. The vast majority of people in this country have been sidelined. Government leaders choke the cable news networks. Meanwhile, the government's concentration camps fill with immigrants and white supremacist terrorists murder our families and neighbors. They go on calling for the impeachment of Trump. And they want a wave of impeachment protests that will take place on June 15th. They're hosting rallies around the country from a group called Liberty Tree. When you see the words impeach, know only one thing. They are the enemies of our way of life. This has nothing to do with Donald Trump. They want to impeach you. They want to impeach America. They want to put you into a prison camp. And they want to rule the way Pol Pot ruled Cambodia. This is a hardcore communist organization behind the impeach Trump movement. As sure as I'm sitting here, if I were working for DHS or FBI, I would smash their doors in. I pull them out by their beards and hair. I pull them out by their marijuana bong pipes. I will tell you what I would do with them. But I'm nothing but a talk show host, because I know right now that although Eddie beat Superman in World War II. That is every man. Eddie is my metaphor for every man. It was every man defeated Superman. Eddie defeated Hans. And for what? What did he defeat Hans for? So we could be riddled with the boll weevils of hatred who pose as Democrats who want to overthrow a sitting president? We have been invaded on every front. The borders are being broken. Over 1 million of them are coming over the border now. Our Border Patrol agents are giving out diapers at the border. The government just ordered 2 million diapers. Are you telling me that those children, those infants from Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador are going to pledge allegiance to the flag that Eddie died for? Are you telling me that those mothers 15 years of age who do not even speak, who do not even read or write Spanish, most of them, they're going to salute America, the America that Rosie the Riveter put the Liberty ships together for? If you believe that, you are a fool. You're a bigger fool than the impeached Trump movement. You know, I predicted a long time ago there was going to be a civil war in America. There is a civil war in America. But it's not being conducted so much in the streets as it is at this time. Where? Where is the civil war being conducted right now? Where? Can I name the generals of the civil war on the other side? Can I name them for you? It would be the president of CNN, Jeff Zucker. He's a general of the opposition of your way of life. Let me tell you something. There's a big difference between criticism of a president, anger towards a president, and outright sedition. Jeff Zucker is committing sedition on a daily basis, by my analysis. Everyone on CNN who spends the entire time on that network trying to bring down a sitting president and nullifying an election is committing sedition. They don't want an orderly transition in this country. What they want is a revolution in this country. Let me read you this again from this organization called Liberty Tree. Listen to what they say to the people. The government's concentration camps fill with immigrants and white supremacist terrorists murder our families and neighbors. Is that free speech? Is there anyone listening to this show who thinks that that is healthy for this democracy to create lies like that? Lies that are repeated around the streets of Europe. To say that we have concentration camps when there are none, when 6 million Jews actually died in real concentration camps, to say that white supremacist terrorists murder our families and neighbors when the exact opposite is true? Do you want me to give you a calculation of how many white people are being murdered by people of color in this country on a yearly basis? Would you like to see that data? Or is that a little too uncomfortable for Jeff Zucker and the liars at CNN? Now, I thought I would spend today talking about D-Day, but I can't dwell in the past. We're at war right now. There is an enemy within this country who is at war with our way of life. Now, I could talk to you about the joke I had written for today, from D-Day to VD Day in one generation, which is quite funny. From D-Day to VD Day in one generation. But that's a one-liner. Unfortunately, it's true. I believe that this D-Day celebration, as moving as it was for me and many people, let's say in my age bracket, maybe 10 years younger than me, D-Day is the end of an era. Are you telling me that D-Day is still relevant in this multicultural, cynical, sarcastic, hateful, depressed, drug-ridden America? Are you telling me that occasional cortex, Congresswoman, if you want to call her that, Omar, understands D-Day? Are you telling me the Congresswoman Tlaib celebrates D-Day and celebrates what Eddie did to liberate people like her from the shackles of her own people? No, I don't think so. So the civil war that I warned against is already being fought. And it's being fought primarily only by the other side. They are mobilizing, they're organizing, they're attacking. And of course they say they want to impeach Trump because they know they can get away with that because some of the so-called leaders of the Democrat Party are saying the same thing. There are no grounds for impeachment. It's a complete invention. It's a hijacking of a nation. I'm afraid that we on the other side, just like Eddie, who did not really want to go to war, are going to have to go to war. You think all those guys in America wanted to put on a uniform and leave their families behind? You think they wanted to go on those Higgins boats and face enemy fire? They didn't want to go. They'd rather stay home and go to a dance, eat a hot dog, and watch a ball game at Yankee Stadium. They didn't want to go at all. They had to go. It was the American way. They had to go. They had to go to save their wives and their daughters and their mothers from oppression, from the true concentration camps that would have come here. Same is happening in this country today. We have to go to war. They have declared war upon the truth. They've declared war upon our way of life. They're declaring war upon our freedom. This is not about President Trump. These organizations that are largely funded, I know who's funding them. I'm sorry, a lot of these groups are funded by George Soros. Have you noticed no one mentions his name anymore? Have you noticed there's been a chilling effect upon free speech in this country as a result of Zuckerberg and the others who control our press today? Make no mistake about it. The press barons of yesterday are the social media barons of today. They have far too much power, and they're censoring voices like mine. They're shadow blocking me on Twitter. They're shadow blocking me on Facebook. And I'm still here on radio on almost 200 stations with a winning podcast. But for how long? How long will it be before all the voices of opposition to this creeping fascism will disappear from the printed, digital, and spoken landscapes? I do not know, but I know that we are at war, and I know that they've declared war upon us, and I know that it's time for you to put on your mental uniform. This is Michael Savage on D-Day.
Savage.
Hey, do you wish that that ugly double chin would just disappear? Newsflash, ladies and gentlemen, people see it. Your jawline, it tells your age. I'm sorry. Here's Robin from Lubbock, Texas. She said, I put Genucel jawline cream on my neck 2 or 3 days ago. This is the best my neck has looked in 20 years. People told me my face looks young. I'm blown away, she says. With Chamonix MDL technology, Genucel's brand new jawline treatment specifically targets the delicate skin on the neck area for tight, healthy, younger-looking skin. You'll see your mirror smile back at you, or 100% of your money back, no questions asked. Call now, and the classic Genucel for bags and puffiness is free with your order. Text SAVAGE to 77453. Text SAVAGE. For those free gifts, text SAVAGE to 77453. And to start seeing results in 12 hours or less, Genucel Immediate Effects is also yours for free. No double chin, no turkey neck, and no sagging jawline, because no one needs to know your age. Go to Genucel.com. That's Genucel.com, or text SAVAGE to 77453. Get your two free gifts and free shipping now. Text SAVAGE to 77453, or visit Genucel.com. Text SAVAGE to 77453, or Genucel.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So I watched the D-Day ceremonies today, all morning on C-SPAN, which was the best place to watch it, because I didn't have to listen to any inane moron telling me what I was watching. another twit crossing her legs on Fox News, another moron on drugs with a tie on and makeup, cutting away from the president's speech to talk about something inane. I watched it directly for 2 to 3 hours straight. I could not stop watching those 100-year-old men who had actually stormed the beaches of Normandy, some of them wounded and bleeding in the water for hours, rescued, and here they are 75 years later, sitting there in front of the world to see. President Trump looked great. He gave a great speech. I was very inspired by him. The First Lady, as always, the most elegant First Lady in American history. I think even Macron was moved by what today symbolized for his country and for the world. I think even Macron and his wife understood what is at stake. But I couldn't help thinking at the same time, like a split screen in my brain, that while Trump was over there, over here, our borders are broken. While he was over there, over here, our borders are being overrun. While he was over there celebrating what our boys had done 75 years ago to defeat fascism, over here we have lost the war, and the walls have come tumbling down, and a million of them are coming over the border now. Our border patrol is reduced to giving out diapers at the border. Is it Trump's fault? You know how long I've heard it's not his fault? It's Congress's fault. It's the rhino's fault. It's McConnell's fault. I'm sorry, my friends. The buck stops there. Harry Truman taught us that. The buck stops there. I told you before, and I will tell you again. Trump ran on primarily one issue. He was almost a single-issue candidate, and that was to stop the illegal immigration flood that had been opened up under the previous administration. He didn't do it, though. It's gotten worse. Why has it gotten worse? I've got people who are whispering. I got people in the media who are whispering to me that this is not happening by accident. It's by design. And the whole thing is a hall of mirrors. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think that President Trump really wants to stop the flood, but he's not doing it. The results aren't there. That's all I have to say about this. It's a very moving day for those of us who know what it means, but I think it's not really that moving for the multi-culti amongst us. Are you telling me that the people who don't speak English in this country even know what D-Day is? They don't know what D-Day is. You're telling me that the millennials know what D-Day is, or the generation after the millennials? All they know is what VD-Day is. That's all. All they're concerned about is venereal disease, which is now spreading like a wildfire across the planet. Is there any wonder why venereal disease is spreading? I don't think they call it that. They call it STDs now. It's spreading like a wild plague across the planet. Gee, I don't understand how that's connected to the lasciviousness of the West. Is that related to the collapse of morals, the death of the church, the death of religion? No, there's no relationship whatsoever. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? That was the adage of the 1960s. That's when America got broken down. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? Well, they're doing it in the road, and there's an STD epidemic around the planet. There's an opioid epidemic around the planet. There is a loss of a desire to live around the planet, and it's all related to the loss of a belief in God, faith, and reason. I stand by those words. Because, you see, man needs to believe in something. My mother taught me that. When I was young and I was cynical in college, I'd come home and we'd have discussions. Never arguments. She was a quiet woman in some ways. She can get angry, don't get me wrong. She gave me a good beating once in a while, but it was like a windmill coming into the house when I was a little kid in the Bronx. If I was out too late and I finally came in after disappearing, I was so afraid of that windmill hand, you can't believe it. I don't know how she did it, but she did. That hand flew at little Mike's behind. But she was quiet when we talked about that. And she said, I don't know, Michael, people have to believe in something. That's when I was in college, and I thought I knew it all. She said, they have to believe in something. She said, people can't get through life without believing in something. And so now we have an entire generation that doesn't believe in God, but they believe in hatred. They believe in hating Trump. They believe in hating America. They believe in hating the symbols of America. They believe in hating the flag. They believe in hating those of us who voted for Trump. Yeah, so they have something to believe in. They have a lot to believe in. So on a day like this, on D-Day, when we're looking back 75 years to when it was a fight for the survival of freedom, which it was, whether you know it or not, you know, I'm sure that if it was happening today, I thought about that this morning as well. What if our troops were about to invade D-Day today? I wonder what Elizabeth Warren would have said on that day. Would she have been calling for peace and justice? I just wonder what the left would have been saying about fighting the Nazis in World War II when there were real fascists to fight. Which side would they have been on? My guess, they would have been the collaborationists. I look at Elizabeth Warren, I see the face of a collaborationist who sided with the other side in World War II. Okay, so we've gone from D-Day to VD Day in one generation. Let me play a little sound for you that I think is worth playing on the show today. We have a short one of 22 seconds in clip five, Clint, 96-year-old Jake Larson, who stormed Omaha Beach. Here he is today on the Savage Nation.
75 years. How come I'm still alive? I'm still alive. Never in my life did I ever think that I would be standing on Omaha Beach on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. It's like a dream come true, like I won the lottery.
You know, I looked at those men, and not only did I have tears in my eyes, but I had inspiration from them. If they could have lived through what they lived through and still be here all these years later, then nothing that I face in this life is a problem.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
5103 declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
As I say, and as I've said at the beginning of this show, it's great that Trump is over there talking about what Eddie did 75 years ago to stop fascism. Meanwhile, our borders have been overrun here in America. The headline on the Drudge Report, as I speak, is 1,072,000 illegals this year. 1 million illegals are coming in this year. A surge of African migrants continues. The top source of asylum claims are coming in from Venezuela. Did you hear any of this? How is this happening? Because both parties are in on the screwing. I've told you this since the day I began in radio. When there is silence coming from Congress on an issue, it's because both parties have gotten together and the American people are the big loser. That means you, the worker. That means you, the guy driving a delivery truck. Is that you? That means you working in a muffler shop. That means you working in a backbreaking job somewhere. You're paying for all of this. This is not coming out of thin air. And if you're not paying for it directly, you're paying for it indirectly. And if you're not paying for it now, you're going to pay for it in the near future. But you see, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Every one of these, quote, illegal aliens comes here to a golden horizon, a golden future, waiting for them at the border. And if you notice that they're all wearing new clothing and new shoes, where did they go to the bathroom on their way from Guatemala? Where did they go to the bathroom on their way from El Salvador? How did they get here all of that distance? Why, somebody drove them here in buses. They're not marching here anymore. I think Catholic Charities and Baptist Family Services should win a Nobel Prize from the Pope for doing such a humanitarian job of displacing an entire nation with a foreign population that did not earn their way in. And you see, they're not like your grandfather or your grandmother. I know over and over again, that's all you're saying is, Savage, you're an immigrant son. How can you hate immigrants? Well, the answer is, first of all, I don't hate immigrants. Secondly, I will say it until you finally hear it. When your ancestors came to this nation, there was no welfare state waiting for them. There were no freebies. There was no free lunch. There was nothing free. They worked and they worked and they worked. They lived 16 to a room with relatives, and they worked until they dropped dead or they worked their way out of poverty. That was the American way. Many men and women came here and they went to work immediately. The Poles went to work in the coal mines, as did many other Europeans. The steel mills and the coal mines of Ohio and Pennsylvania, backbreaking work, but they didn't complain about it. They were glad to be out of Europe. And what about now? You're telling me that the woman coming over the border with two babies in a carriage is coming to work in a coal mine or a steel mill? She's coming here to live off the welfare state, not even to learn English. And I will tell you, as I've said it before, many of them have diseases. Shall I name all of them for you? I have over and over and over again. Yes, on this D-Day, we have a lot to celebrate and a lot to be very, very unhappy for.
Savage.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
Today, President Trump gave what may be his best speech. It was very moving. He talked about what the men who stormed the beaches of Normandy actually did, what they sacrificed, and what they accomplished. And some of the survivors were there. You got to listen to this.
But we know what these men did. We knew how brave they were. They came here and saved freedom. And then they went home and showed us all what freedom is all about. The American sons and daughters who saw us to victory were no less extraordinary in peace. They built families. They built industries. They built a national culture that inspired the entire world. In the decades that followed, America defeated communism, secured civil rights, revolutionized science, launched a man to the moon, and then kept on pushing to new frontiers. And today, America is stronger than ever before.
In another ceremony today, the president read the prayer that FDR read when he knew the invasion was about to take place. In this age of cynicism, you need to listen to Trump deliver FDR's prayer.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. They will need thy blessings, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteous of our cause, our sons will triumph. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, the heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, and faith in our united crusade. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
Please take yourself back to that day and put yourself in the shoes that those boys wore who were about to hit the beaches. They didn't feel like heroes. They were scared to death. But they did it anyway. And this is what their commander, Dwight Eisenhower, had to say to them.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940-41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeats in open battle, man to man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war, and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking.
Now, 20 years later, Walter Cronkite interviewed Eisenhower. Listen to his reflections of that day.
This D-Day has a very special meaning for me, and I'm not referring merely to the anxieties of the day, the anxieties that were a natural part of sending in an invasion where you knew that many hundreds of boys were going to give their lives or be maimed forever. But my mind goes back so often to this fact. On D-Day, my own son graduated from West Point. And after his training with his division, he came over with the 71st Division. But that was some time after this event. But on the very day he was graduating, these men came here, British and our other allies, Americans, to storm these beaches for one purpose only. Not to gain anything for ourselves, not to fulfill any ambitions that America had for conquest, but just to preserve freedom, systems of self-government in the world. Many thousands of men have died for ideals such as these. And here again, in the 20th century, for the second time, Americans, along with the rest of the free world, but Americans had to come across the ocean to defend those same values. Now, my own son has been very fortunate. He has had a very full life since then. He is a father of four lovely children that are very precious to my wife and me. But these young boys, so many of them, over whose graves we have been treading, looking at, wondering and contemplating about their sacrifices, they were cut off in their prime. And they have families that grieve for them, but they never knew the great experiences of going through life like my son can enjoy. I devoutly hope that we will never again have to see such scenes as these. I think and hope, pray, that the humanity will learn more than we had learned up to that time. But these people gave us a chance, and they bought time for us so that we can do better than we have before. So every time I come back to these beaches, or when any day when I think about that day 20 years ago now, I say once more, we must find some way to work to peace and really to gain an eternal peace for this world.
Try to imagine yourself at that time listening to the radio. This is what you would have heard on June 6th, 1944.
The bombers begin the invasion blow. And the troops go aboard the ships of the greatest armada that ever struck at a hostile shore. The Allies have massed 4,000 ships, which start on their epic voyage to the coast of France. General Eisenhower at his British headquarters checks the working out of plan. Air action in every form supports the invasion. The great convoys steam through the English Channel. The landing craft crammed with soldiers, tough and hardened fighting men. This is the greatest amphibious operation in military history. A stroke of war that many thought impossible, especially the Germans. Landings have always been regarded as one of the most difficult and perilous tasks of war. And the German Atlantic Wall, seen there, was powerfully fortified. But the Allied commanders have learned much about the problems of assaulting hostile shores, the British and Canadians in their commando raids against the Nazis, and the Americans in their amphibious operations against the Japs in the Pacific. In the Second Front invasion, there is heavy resistance at some beaches. From the ships, they swarm down to smaller craft with a dash to shore. There's hostile fire now. The boats reply and men duck for cover. Now the moment of suspense when the men leave the boats for the shore. At this point, enemy resistance has been smashed, and the soldiers scramble to the beach for a speedy seizure of the points assigned them. That long-promised day of invasion, D-Day.
And the day shortly after that from NBC News and other newsreels.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC newsroom in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, we may be approaching a fateful hour. All night long, bulletins have been pouring in from Berlin claiming that D-Day is here. We have just been informed, a very important broadcast from the British capital. And so now, we take you to London.
Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France.
96-year-old Jake Larson stormed Normandy on D-Day when he was only 21 years old. Here he is 75 years later, visiting Omaha Beach for the first time since the day he landed there, giving his account of what happened and what it's like for him to be back.
75 years. How come I'm still alive? I'm still alive. Never in my life did I ever think that I would be standing on Omaha Beach on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. It's like a dream come true, like I won the lottery. It was bloody bodies. What can a person say now except that war is hell? Just think of it. A million mines out in front of us. 2,400 rounds shooting at you at any one time. I stopped for a cigarette behind that berm, and my matches were wet. So I turned to my left, and not 3 feet from me, there was a soldier. And I says, "Buddy, have you got a match?" And he didn't answer. I looked again, and there was no head under the helmet. The soul of that boy inspired me to up at that instant and run for the cliff.
What do you want people to know on this 75th anniversary, Jake?
Don't remember me. Remember all those guys that sacrificed their lives for freedom that we all enjoy today. And remember, freedom is not free.
Don't let those headstones that lay across an ocean from their home have no meaning. Please remember them and what happened 75 years ago today. And please make others remember. It is the only hope we have for the survival of our borders, our language, and our culture, our very United States of America.
The Westwood One Podcast Network.